This week's parsha is Parshas Shlach, and we will start with the story of the Mekoshesh, which is on chapter 15, Pasuk 32 to 36. We'll pose a few questions and then we'll interpret, according to different Mefarshim, what really transpired and the timeline it transpired. The Pasuk starts, Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, that the Jewish people were in the desert. The first question is, they were in the desert for 40 years. What are you telling me that they were in the desert? What is the message of them being in the desert? Va'imtzu ish, they found a person, mekoishesh eitzim beyoyim ha-Shabbos. He was gathering wood the day of Shabbos. What really was the transgression that this mekoishesh, this gatherer, was doing? It's a dispute in the Gemara, which we'll explain soon really what it was. But nonetheless, they found this person transgressing Shabbos. Pasuk 33 continues, Vayakrivu oisoi, that they brought them near. Who brought near? Hamoitzim oisoi mekoishesh eitzim. Those who found them gathering wood brought near El Moishe vel Aharon, to Moishe and to Aharon, vel kol oedo, and to the whole congregation. In other words, the people who found this mekoishesh brought the mekoishesh in front of Moishe and Aharon and the whole congregation. Next pasuk says, Vayanichu oise b'mishmar, they put him in jail, in protective custody. Kiloi poirish maye oseloi, because it was not told, has not been clarified, what should be done to him. What the doubt was, what to do with this mekoishesh, is going to be a difference of opinion, which we will also discuss. And then the pasuk continues, which we will not go into details. The pasuk says that Hashem tells Moshe that this mekoishesh should be put to death. It should be stoned outside the encampment. And the Jewish people took the mekoishesh outside the encampment and they stoned them like Hashem has commanded to Moshe Rabbeinu. Explaining quickly the story of the mekoishesh, they brought the mekoishesh in front of Moshe Aharon congregation, and Moshe Aharon told them to put them in jail because it was not disclosed what should be done with this mekoishesh. And then Hashem tells them mekoishesh deserves death. Like anybody who transgresses Shabbos, the punishment is to death by stoning. So too they did to this mekoishesh, they actually stoned them to death. Now we'll start analyzing the pasuk and start again with pasuk 32. Rashi on the pasuk Vayihu bnei Yisrael b'midbar, Rashi writes down from the Sifri, Bignusom shel Yisrael dibra kosov. The Torah is telling you about the shame of the Jewish people. The reason it's written that the Jewish people came to the desert means literally right in the beginning of the desert story, when the Jewish people came to the desert, that's what happened. Shelo yishamru elo Shabbos rishoina, that only the first Shabbos we kept, uvashniya, in the second Shabbos, bozeh, already this mekoshesh came, v'chilelo, and transgressed. So Rashi is saying that the reason it's written that the Jewish people came to the desert is to let you know that the time of the mekoishesh is really not here. It really belongs in Parshas Beshalach, right after the Jewish people got the man. The second Shabbos, right away, we already transgressed it. First, if it's not chronological, according to Rashi, that this happened the second week of the desert, how come the Parshas of mekoishesh is here? Parshas of mekoishesh should be written on Parshas Beshalach, right when the Jewish people came to the desert, the second week of the desert. That's where the place of this story of mekoishesh should be. Rashi himself on chapter 15, pasuk number 41, in the end there, brings down the miyesoide shorab moisha darshan, from moisha darshan etakti, I brought down lama nismecha. Why is it the juxtaposition of Parsha mekoishesh, of our Parsha of mekoishesh, le Parsha avoy dezore, to the Parsha previously, the last pasuk previously, talks about avoy dezore, on chapter number 15, pasuk number 31, says, Kidvar Hashem bozo, because the word of Hashem, he shamed. Rashi explains, what does it mean, that the word of Hashem, he shamed? So Rashi says that it's referring to somebody who does idolatry, since the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments, I am Hashem, and do not have an idol in front of me. Those were given directly by Hashem. So somebody who commits idolatry, is specifically shaming the words of Hashem, and a person who transgresses and commits idolatry, his punishment is kores, which means his soul is cut off from in front of Hashem. And right afterwards it's written the parsha of Mekoshesh, so therefore is to teach what the Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei Amud Aleph brings down, that anybody who transgresses Shabbos is tantamount of committing idolatry. That if you do not keep Shabbos, it is as you would have committed idolatry. Sif Sachomim explains what is the logic behind it. So Sif Sachomim explains that somebody who transgresses Shabbos is in effect denying that Hashem is the creator and he created the world in 6 days and the seventh day he rested. Because by you working on Shabbos, then you believe that Hashem did not rest on the seventh day, or you don't want to admit that Hashem is the creator. So that is tantamount of you committing idolatry, that you believe maybe another being created you, and you don't have to follow the commandments of Hashem. Therefore, somebody who doesn't keep Shabbos is tantamount of denying the existence of Hashem, and somebody who denies the existence of Hashem is like committing idolatry. So that's why it's written the juxtaposition between the Mekoshesh, the parsha of Avodah Zarah, to let you know this idea. So according to Rashi, you will understand how come the Torah delayed the writing of the Mekoshesh until after we write down about the sin of Avodah Zarah, and what to do if somebody makes by mistake idolatry, or somebody does it on purpose idolatry. Right afterwards, it's written the sin of the Mekoshesh, which is the sin of transgressing Shabbos. The Rachaim explains that the reason that the Torah has to stress that the Jewish people were in the desert is according to the opinion that the sin of Mekoshesh was that he was carrying 4 amas b'shus rabim, 4 cubits in public domain. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Beis, brings down 3 opinions. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda says name of Shmuel, Mekoshesh Mavir 4 amas b'shus rabim. The sin of Mekoshesh was that he was carrying in middle of the streets 4 cubits, and he was gathering wood, which means that he was carrying the wood in public domain. Even though the Gemara there gives other 2 opinions what the sin of the Mekoshesh was, nonetheless, the Rachaim first uses the first opinion that Mekoshesh was carrying in public domain to explain why specifically written that the Jewish people were in the desert. The Rachaim continues quoting a different Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Vav Omed Beis. The Gemara there brings a contradiction between 2 Baraisas. 1 Baraisa lists the desert as one of the places that is considered a public domain, and the other Baraisa lists the desert as one of the places that it is a Carmelite. So the question is the desert a public domain, or is it a Carmelite? A Carmelite is described as a place that it's semi-public, it's not private and it's not public, and the rabbis gave it the stringency of a public domain and a private domain. But nonetheless, if you carry on a Carmelite, if you carry on the domain called Carmelite, you are not liable for transgressing biblical Shabbos, and you don't have to bring a sacrifice, and you don't get the death sentence. You're not allowed to do it because it's rabbinic decree, but nonetheless, you are not liable biblically for it. And the other place describes the desert as a public domain, which you are liable biblically. So what is it? Is the desert a public domain, or is the desert a Carmelite, semi-public domain? The Gemara answers, Omar Abaya. Abaya says, Loi kasha, there's no problem. We resolve the contradiction very easily. Kam bizman sheyisrael shruim bamidbar. This case, where it's talking about that the Midbar is a public domain, is referring to when the Jewish people were in the desert, since there was 600,000 people, according to Tosfos, in the desert. So therefore, the desert became a public domain. Kan bizmanazeh, that nowadays, since in the desert there is no 600,000 people, so therefore, the desert is not called a public domain, it's a Carmelite. But when the Jewish people were in the desert, according to Rashi, then the desert was a public domain. So therefore, the Rachaim explains that the Pasuk, okay, stressing, Vayu bnei Yisrael bamidbar, you should know that the Jewish people were in the desert. And once the Jewish people are in the desert, the Rachaim says according to Rashi, then the desert is a public domain. Then they found the ish mekoishes etzim. They found the ish, a person carrying in public domain. Therefore, he was found to be transgressing Shabbos, and therefore he was stoned. But according to Rachaim, the reason that's written Bamidbar, stressing the word Bamidbar in the desert, is because only while the Jewish people were in the desert, that's when the desert has a category of a public domain, and therefore this Mekoshesh, this gatherer, which was carrying him in public domain, he transgressed. Had the Jewish people not been in the desert, then the desert would have had the category of a Carmelite. When the desert has a category of Carmelite, you cannot transgress, and you are not stoned for it. The Torah has to stress that this person was stoned because the Jewish people were in the desert. Then the Rachaim brings a second interpretation, and he says that even according to the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that the desert is always considered a public domain, doesn't matter if the Jewish people are in the desert, or Bizman Hazeh, or nowadays, the desert is always considered a public domain. If that is so, then the original question that we asked, why is it written that the Jewish people were in the desert, according to the Rambam, it doesn't make a difference if they are in the desert or they are not in the desert. So the Rachaim answers that the Rambam has to hold according to the second opinion of that Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Tzadik Vav, Omed Beis, 96b. There the Gemara brings the second opinion of the sin of the gatherer. What did the gatherer do wrong? That we learned in the Beraisa, that the Mekoshesh was actually toilish. The Mekoshesh was one that was plucking wood from the ground. His sin was not that of carrying in public domain. His sin was that he was detaching wood from the ground while they were still growing, harvesting, which is koitzer, which is the melacha of ripping. And that's what they found him doing, and that's why he is guilty. Still, the Rachaim explains, then why is it written that the Jewish people were in the desert? The Rachaim answers based on the halacha on kisui adam, on covering the blood. Whenever we slaughter a bird or a chaya, undomesticated animal like a deer, we are required to cover the blood with sand. But the Tana says that you're not allowed to use the sand of a desert, because since the sand of a desert is salty and doesn't grow, it's disqualified for kisui adam. It's not good to cover the blood of the animal or of the bird. So if that is true, then you're going to ask me a question. If you see that the desert doesn't grow, then how can the Mekoshesh be chayev for removing something from the ground? If it doesn't grow, there's nothing. There's not guilty of removing if something doesn't grow. So therefore, it answers that Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'amidbar, the Jewish people were in the desert. When the Jewish people were in the desert, they enjoyed the Be'er Shel Miriam, the well of Miriam, which supplied them with water to drink. And the Medrash says that the well of Miriam didn't only supply water for the people to drink, it also irrigated all the fields around it and also made things grow, orchards and vegetables around them. It was so much water, according to the Medrash, that you had to use boats to go from one tribe to the other, because it was like canals between them, that each tribe has its own canal and the water surrounded it. And in order for that tribe to go to the other tribe, he had to use boats to cross, like the city of Venice. If orchards grow next to those canals, then you are liable for gathering. And therefore, this Mekoshesh, which they found harvesting, was liable, because since there was water, and there was vegetation, and there was wood, so this Mekoshesh went to gather the wood, he's liable. But the only reason he's liable is because the Jewish people were in the desert. Since the Jewish people were in the desert, then we had the Be'er Shel Miriam, we had the well of Miriam, and since we had the well of Miriam, there is vegetation to be found. So therefore, this Mekoshesh is liable. Had it been not a time the Jewish people in the desert, then you gather wood in the middle of the desert, you're not liable, because that is not something that grows anyways. So therefore, the Torah is stressing that the Bnei Yisrael were in the desert, because that is the cause that he had what to harvest. And since he had what to harvest, he became liable. And even according to the third opinion of the Gemara in Shabbos 96b, that the sin of the Mekoshesh was that he was me'amer, which means that he was gathering bushels. When you take things that are detached already, and you make bundles together and you put them together, you are liable for the melacha of me'amer. And Mekoshesh was doing that. He was gathering the wood, even though they were detached, but he was making bundles, and that itself is a melacha of me'amer. And the only reason he was able to get those woods is because the Jewish people were in the desert again. And since the Jewish people were in the desert, there was a well of Miriam. And once there is a well of Miriam, then things grow. And if things grow, then you are liable for gathering them. Because if things don't grow, you are not liable for gathering. The Barbanel writes down that the word Bamidbar comes to tell you the reason that the Mekoshesh transgressed Shabbos. And he explains that since the Jewish people were in the desert, and the desert there is no wood, and since there is no wood, then this Mekoshesh had to go outside the Tchum. He had to go outside 2,000 cubits that you're allowed to go to look for wood and gather. And the people found them, and that was the Chilul Shabbos. That was the transgression of Shabbos. The Yisroch Moshe asks a question that you can't say this idea that this transgression was that he left after Tchum Shabbos, because first there's a machloikus with Tchum Shabbos is the Oraisa or the Rabbanon, that the fact that you go outside 2,000 cubits of populated area on Shabbos, is that a biblical transgression or a rabbinic transgression? And even according to the opinion that that's a biblical transgression, he agrees that you do not get kores for it, you do not get cut off, you do not get death for it. So how can they kill the Mekoshesh for something like that? And the other question is that desert is a big place. Who says that 2,000 cubits away you're going to find wood? If you can't find wood here, and we were right in the middle of the desert, who says that a couple of hours journey, because obviously you're not going to leave the encampment forever, that you're going to find wood? Therefore, the Yisroch Moshe brings a medrash on beginning of Bamidbar. The beginning of Bamidbar says, "Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Bamidbar Sinai, in the desert of Sinai." Medrash Rabbe, Perikal of Siman Zion, brings down, "Ma Midbar Hefker Lakoil." The same way a desert is free to anybody. Anybody who wants to come into the desert is entitled to come into the desert. Because since it's a desert, nobody is protecting it. Nobody is guard over it. There is no ownership over it. So to Afa Torah, Hefker Lakoil. So to the Torah, anybody who wants to achieve Torah, anybody who wants to learn Torah, is entitled to it and is able to do it. It's free to anybody that wants. From here we see that anytime it's written the word Midbar, means to tell you that it's free, that you're freed from something. So he explains that this is what's written here, Vayu Bnei Yisrael Bamidbar, that the Jewish people acted here like they are in the desert. The Jewish people acted like they are free from everything, like they don't have to keep the Torah, and they don't have to keep the mitzvahs. That is the proof to Rashi, that Rashi says, Begnuso Shel Yisrael, in the shame of the Jewish people we're talking about here, because this is the only Shabbos they kept. And how do we know that? Because it's written, the word Bamidbar, that the Jewish people acted like they are free, like they have no ownership, like they're not under the auspices of Hashem, and they don't have to keep Shabbos anymore, they don't have to keep mitzvahs. And that's why it happened that this Mekoshesh came by. So according to the Yisroch Moshe, that's the reason that's written here, Bamidbar, to tell you this was a shameful act, and because it was the Jewish people in a shameful state, a state of Bamidbar, they felt like they are in the desert, like no ownership, so that's why this person sinned, and that's why he was killed. The Ramban says clearly that this is chronological, that this happened after the sin of the spies, after the sin of the Meraglim, and because we were in the desert, that's why it happened, this event. But he doesn't explain any more details exactly what he's referring to. The Rabbeinu Bachya explains that we have a rule always that mitzvah goreres mitzvah. If you do one mitzvah, that pulls another mitzvah. But we have a rule also, avera goreres avera, that one sin pulls another sin. Since now we sinned and despise, we're required to go backwards to the desert. So since we're required to go backwards, we ended up making another sin, the sin of Chilul Shabbos, of transgressing Shabbos, that we actually were in the desert when we did the Mekoshesh, when we did the sin of Mekoshesh. Had we gone straight towards Israel, then we wouldn't have sinned because we would have been at Israel, we wouldn't have gathered. But now that we went backwards, so therefore since the Jewish people were in the desert, that caused us to make another sin on Chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Bacher gives a different pshat, which is a beautiful pshat. He says that even though the Jewish people were in the desert and man is falling every day, and this is one of the miracles of Hashem, still you find somebody that goes and tries to gather wood. In other words, we have everything we need from the man, and yet we see somebody going to transgress Shabbos to gather wood, which is unnecessary since you have what to eat. According to Rabbi Bachya, the idea of the Pasuk writing down Vayu bnei Yisrael b'midbar, that the Jewish people were in the desert, that even though they were in the desert and they were getting man, yet they were so evil at the time that they specifically found a way to not enjoy the man and go gather wood and cook their own items in order to do Chilul Shabbos. They totally disregarded Hashem's miracle of the man and they went looking for wood to cook in order to cook their own foods. Other Mefarshim say the opposite, that they went to get wood because they were Rishoim, evil people, sinners. And depending on the level that you are, will depend how the man was palatable, if you could eat it raw, or you have to cook, or you have to bake. If you're a righteous person, you could eat it raw, but if you weren't so righteous, you're required to cook, and you're required to bake it. And this Mekoshesh wasn't so righteous, so therefore he needed wood to cook his man, because this man was not edible unless you cooked it. And that is the reason that he transgressed Shabbos. Rabbeinu Bacher gives another interpretation. Why is it written, Vayu bnei Yisrael b'midbar, the Jewish people were in the desert, Vayimtzu ish mekoshesh, and they found a man gathering wood. He's telling you that the reason they were in the desert also is because there is man gathering wood. Don't think that only because of the sin of the spies, that's why you were decreed to go into the desert and stay there. You were decreed to go in the desert because you also have other sins, the sin of gathering wood, the sin of Chilul Shabbos. True, because of the sin of Chilul Shabbos alone, I would not keep you in the desert. But now that you did the Meraglim, you did the sin of the spies, and plus you had the sin of gathering, so therefore you are in the desert, and therefore you are punished. So the idea of writing down Vayu bnei Yisrael b'midbar is telling you, you know why the Jewish people got stuck in the desert, not only because of the sins of the spies, also because of the sins of the Jewish people that they always transgressed Shabbos until this Mekoshesh came. Tosfos in Masechtas Baba Basra, Daf Kufyu Tes Amud Beis, 119b, Divra Maschel Afilu, brings a Medrash that the Medrash says that Mekoshesh, the gatherer, he had intention L'Shem Shomayim. He had intention for heaven's sakes. What? That since the Jewish people realized that they cannot go into anymore to Eretz Yisrael, after the spies, it was decreed for them that that generation is going to die in Eretz Yisrael, they thought that since we're not going to Eretz Yisrael, we're not liable to make mitzvahs anymore. So therefore, this Mekoshesh decided he's going to be Machal Shabbos, so he'll be killed, and other people realize that even though you're not going into Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't give you an exemption from doing mitzvahs or from keeping Shabbos. Therefore, he sacrificed himself that he's going to be killed and people will see that he's killed. They'll learn the lesson that Chilul Shabbos is important and like that, they won't transgress Shabbos. And according to this, Pshat in the Pasuk is, Vayibnei Yisrael b'midbar, that the Jewish people were in the desert. In other words, since it was decreed now that they should be in the desert and they won't go into Israel, therefore, Vayimtzu ish mekoshesh eitzim. Therefore, this person went and he went to gather wood on Shabbos because he wanted to teach them that you are still liable for all the mitzvahs. And according to this Medrash that Tosfos brings down, it answers the question, the Gemara, in Shabbos, Daf 96b. There the Gemara brings down that Rabbi Akiva says that Mekoshesh is Tzelafchot. Tzelafchot is mentioned on Bamidbar chapter 27 in Parshas Pinchas. There we see that the daughters of Tzelafchot came in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and asked to be granted a portion of Eretz Yisrael. And on Pasuk number 3, they say, I'm going to paraphrase, Avinu Beis Mamidbar, our father died in the desert. And they continue, Ki Bechetoy Meis, he died in his own sin, and he didn't have any sons. So the daughters came in and asked to be granted a portion of Eretz Yisrael. So there, it's not mentioned, what does it mean, he died in his own sin? What sin did he die from? So Rabbi Akiva says that the sin that Tzelofchot died was the sin of the Mekoshesh, that Tzelofchot was actually the gatherer that gathered the wood and he was killed, and his daughters are the ones requesting inheritance in the land of Israel. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra went to Rabbi Akiva and says, Rabbi Akiva, benkach or venkach, no matter what, you are going to have to give justice in front of Hashem. If you are right that he is Tzelofchot, the Torah covered up the person who sinned by not disclosing his name, and you trying to publicize it. The Torah didn't want to mention his sin, and you publicizing it. And if you are wrong, and the Mekoshesh is not Tzelofchot, then you are maligning that tzaddik. True that Tzelofchot died in his own sin, and obviously he must have a sin, but he didn't have the sin of Chilul Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Becerra says, no matter what, you are liable for judgment. If you are right, then the Torah didn't want to disclose, and you're disclosing it. And if you are wrong, then you are giving gossip on that tzaddik, Tzelofchot. According to Tosfos, we have to say that Rabbi Akiva holds that it's Tzelofchot, and Tzelofchot had intention L'shem Shamayim, for heaven's sake. So therefore, no matter what, he's not maligning that tzaddik, because Tzelofchot's intention was very pure-hearted, and he wanted intentions for L'shem Shamayim. And also, to confirm that this was a righteous person, the Sefer HaZnaim LaTorah brings down that you see in this description of the Mekoshesh, every time it's mentioned, the idea of Mekoshesh, it calls him by the term Ish. On Pasuk number 32, Vayimtzu Ish, they found a person, Mekoshesh Eitzim, that he was gathering wood. Also, it comes on time for the punishment. On Pasuk number 35, Vayim Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe, Mois Yumas Ha'ish, the person should be killed. So we know every time it says in the Torah the word Ish, it denotes Hashivu's importance, that he's an upright person. And in contrast, to even emphasize the point, on Parshas Emor, on Vayikra, chapter 24, Pasuk number 10, where we discuss there about the person who curses the name of Hashem, he's never described as a Ish. He's always described either as Ben Isha Israelis, the son of a Jewish woman, and even when he's told that he's going to be put to death, on Pasuk number 14, there he says, Hoitze Samekalel al Mechus Lamachna, take out the cursor outside the encampment. He's never described with the term Ish. Why? Because he was an evil person. But here, since the Mekoshesh is a righteous person, so therefore he's described in the term Ish, and he's a righteous person because he had intentions, L'shem Shamayim, for heaven's sake. The question Mefurshim asks is, it does not make sense. First of all, we have a rule. We do not say, Chatei, Bishvil Sheis Kechaveroi. We don't say sin, so other people will merit. We don't tell a person, you know, you make a sin, so other people should learn the lesson from you. And second, what did he gain? It doesn't make sense. What was he afraid? That people are going to transgress Shabbos? So why doesn't he wait till somebody transgresses Shabbos and that person will be killed and everybody will learn an example from that person? Why did he sacrifice himself and he decided he's going to transgress Shabbos and then other people won't transgress? If he waited another 2 weeks or another 2 weeks and people will transgress Shabbos, those people will be caught, those people will be killed, and those people will become an example for other people not to transgress Shabbos. What kind of excuse is it that you should go now and transgress Shabbos intentionally so other people will learn? What kind of Shem Shomayim is this idea? The answer is alluded to in the Ksav Sofer. We know that every time somebody does a sin, even though that person is not related to you, and you have no contact with that person, that sin affects something in the cosmos, in the air, in the spiritual world, that sin will eventually affect you. And we see clearly by the Mabul, the floods in Bereshis, chapter 6, pasuk number 12, the pasuk says that Hashem saw that the world is corrupt. Ki hishchis kol basor es darkoi al oretz, that all flesh has corrupted its way upon the earth. Rashi is bothered by the language all flesh. It's not written that man corrupted his ways on the earth, that he was immoral. It's written all flesh corrupted their ways. So Rashi explains, afila behemo chaya ve'oif, even animals, birds, and wild animals, niskoking lesheino minom, had relationships with other species. They corrupted their way that they had relationship with other species. In other words, even though the animals don't have free will, the fact that the man was so immoral that he was committing acts of immorality, that corrupted the world, the spiritual world, and that in return corrupted even the animals who normally don't have free will. They don't have free choice, and they in turn crossbred and had relationship with other species. You see from that if man makes a sin, besides of the fact that the Pamalia Shalmala, the heavenly court, cries over that sin, but that sin itself causes something in the spiritual world, in the spiritual cosmos. It creates bad energy, and that affects everybody, affects every being even. We also know regarding Shabbos that you only transgress Shabbos if you make a meleches machsheves, if you make an action which is calculated, and also to make an action that has a constructive purpose. If you make a destructive purpose, if you destroy, you are not liable on Shabbos. It has to be for a constructive purpose, and it has to be for the reason it's done. But also, there is another rule that the malacha, that the work has to be done for the purpose it is designed to do. In other words, the Gemara gives an example. If I extinguish a flame because I'm afraid of a robber, even though I'm extinguishing the flame, that is considered a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It's a work that I don't want it for itself. In other words, I'm not doing it because I wanted it. I'm doing it because a side issue, because I'm afraid the robber is going to see the light and he's going to attack me. So therefore, I'm extinguishing the flame. I am not guilty, according to Rav Shimon, which we pass in that way, I am not guilty biblically for extinguishing the flame. I must emphasize the point that even according to Rav Shimon, who says I'm not liable to it biblically, I am still prohibited rabbinically from doing that malacha. He says malacha sheni tzrucha legufa is patur, but is patur aval asur. We are not allowed to extinguish the fire even though we are afraid of a robber. If we did it though, we are not liable biblically, but nonetheless we transgressed a rabbinic law. Another example that the Talmud uses of melacha sheni tzricha legufa is I dig a hole, but not because I need the hole. I need the sand. I need the sand for some purpose. Even though by my digging I transgress a melacha, I transgress one of the works of Shabbos, but nonetheless, since my purpose is really not to dig the hole, my purpose is only to get the sand, and to do that, I don't necessarily need to dig a hole, and that is not usually the purpose a person digging a hole does for. So therefore, this is considered a melacha shein tzricha legufa, a work that I don't need for itself, even though I'm doing the work, but since my work is not done for the reason normally a person digs. Normally a person digs is in order to get a hole, and here I'm not interested in the hole whatsoever, I'm interested in the sand that I take out of it. Therefore, it is considered a melacha shein tzricha legufa, and according to Rav Shimon, I am not liable biblically in that case. Summarizing, in order to transgress Shabbos, you are required to do a melacha, a work for the purpose it is designed to do, and any deviation of that purpose, you are not biblically liable for that work that you do. So it comes out like that. Tzalafcha thought, if I wait around and I wait till somebody actually does a melacha, transgresses, then the transgression is going to be complete transgression, and then that person is going to be killed for an actual transgression. And that transgression, because it is a real transgression, will affect something in the world that will contaminate the world and will cause disrespect to Hashem. Therefore, he says, Hashem knows my true intention. Therefore, I am going to make an action which is going to be a melacha shein tzrucha legufa. The only reason I'm transgressing Shabbos is not because I need the wood. I really don't need the wood because I don't want to transgress Shabbos. The sole purpose of me transgressing Shabbos is to teach other people the punishment for transgressing Shabbos. So therefore comes out that the action itself I didn't need the action. So it became a melacha shein tzrucha legufa. So technically he was exempt. Technically he did not transgress Shabbos at all. Only for the view of the people he transgressed Shabbos. But since his intention was only to show them the punishment for somebody who transgresses Shabbos, and he really didn't have a need for the wood, because the only reason he gathered wood is for people to see him, and then he'll be punished, he'll be put to death, and people will learn the lesson. So it comes out that he never transgressed Shabbos in a biblical sense, and therefore the spirit of the world was not violated, and therefore he decided that he's going to do that before actually somebody else does an actual crime. And the Ksav Sofer explained that that is the reason why on Pasuk number 34, that it's written by Anichi Oisu Bamishmar, they put him in jail, Kiloi Forash, because it was not explained, Ma Ye'os Eloi, what should be done to him. And Rashi is wondering what wasn't explained. And Rashi says, Rashi explains that they knew that somebody who transgresses Shabbos is liable for death, but they didn't know which death this person will get. In other words, in Jewish law, there are four forms of capital punishment. One is decapitation, the other one is hanging, stoning, and burning. And the Mekoshesh, they didn't know which form of death he deserves. Therefore, they put him in jail until Hashem tells them what kind of death to give him. But the Ksav Sofer explains that could be that they didn't know what to be done to him, that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that his action is action that deserves death. But since Moshe Rabbeinu knew his intent, and his intent was Hashem Shomayim, then it made it a melacha shein tzrucha legufa. So Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, do I follow his action, which is a violation of Shabbos, or do I follow his intent, which is not a violation of Shabbos, because it was done for ulterior motive and not for the right purpose that usually that melacha is done. Therefore, and the Ksav Sofer says that Hashem told them that you have to kill this person to teach you a lesson that Bezen could only do what it sees. It cannot try to follow what is in the heart of the person. If Bezen sees an action that is a violation of Torah and has all the visible conditions of a liability of death, then Bezen is required to follow it, because Bezen is only entitled to do what Bezen sees. Bezen sees an action and sees a criminal action that is liable for death, then Bezen is required to put the person to death. Bezen is not required to second guess what is in the heart of the people. But in truth, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that it was Lashem Shomayim, therefore he had a doubt originally what to do. It's interesting to note that the Meshech Chachma comments that the death of the Mekoshesh, because he had intentional Shem Shomayim, for the sake of heaven, he wanted to prevent the Jewish people from committing Chilul Shabbos, the secretion of Shabbos, it had such a deep impact in the hearts of the Jewish people, that from that time on, they never committed Chilul Shabbos. So much it brings us proof that the Moshe Rabbeinu warns the Jewish people in Mishneh Torah and Sefer Dvarim, he warns them about all the mitzvahs, he does not have to warn them again about keeping Shabbos. The only time Shabbos is mentioned again is when it's repeated by the Ten Commandments. But Moshe Rabbeinu does not have to warn them like he warns for other things, that you have to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah. But Shabbos, because of the self-sacrifice of the Mekoshesh, he was not required to warn them, because they never transgressed it. The only problem with this Meshech Chochmah is that the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches Omed Beis, brings down that Ilemole Meshabrim Israel Shtei Shabbos Kel Chosom, if the Jewish people would have kept two Shabboses according to the law, Miyad Nigolin, right away they would have been redeemed. And according to Meshech Chochma, that after Mekoshesh everybody kept Shabbos, then theoretically we should have been redeemed right away. So could be that even though we technically keep Shabbos, we do not transgress it, but that could be a far cry for keeping Shtei Shabbosos Kehil Choson, to keep properly two Shabbosos. Just because you are not transgressing Shabbos doesn't necessarily mean you're keeping Shabbos. To keep Shabbos, you require to be in a high level that you are connected to the resting and connected to the real Menucha that Shabbos gives. Keeping Shabbos according to Halacha, that probably requires an even higher level than that, and could be that the Jewish people did not achieve that level. The Jewish people achieved the level that they did not transgress any commandments on Shabbos because of the Mekoshesh, but they may not have achieved the level of doing all positive things towards Shabbos like it's properly to do, and therefore unfortunately were not redeemed at that time. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all try to keep Shabbos. And by us keeping Shabbos and by us enhancing the spirituality of the world, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'imheiro b'yomeinu, Amen.